So the theme tonight is meditation. And I just want to offer some brief reflections on meditation. And after that, I'll come to some instructions for the walking meditation. So when we begin to open to meditation practice, open the heart and mind, we need to do so out of friendliness, out of love, out of affection, out of care. So I would really ask you to please come to the meditation practice with a compassionate heart. Because if we can start from that place of care, then many of the struggles that we have as we endeavor to meditate can be sidestepped, or they don't even arise in the first place. So the invitation tonight is to begin from a place of caring, of warmth, of friendliness, in your own attitude to yourself and to your practice. The quality of the attention itself, the quality of the mindfulness that we give to what's happening, needs to be rather tender, rather fine. Because if we approach our meditation with struggle, with striving, with pushing, we'll very soon end up with aches, pains, a headache, and lots of stress. What I find most people do who are beginning to meditate is simply to try too hard. So our relationship with effort needs to be wise. We need to know ourselves and know when we need to make more effort consciously, and when we need to ease back. The word mindfulness in Pali is sati, and it has several different aspects. One of them is simply present moment awareness, so being present with all that occurs. But it's the way that we are present that's important. So we're present to the sensations in the body, and we see the sensations in the body arise and cease, begin and end. We see that sometimes the sensations in the body are pleasant, sometimes they're unpleasant, and in between. And then, of course, we see our feeling world. And then the world of thought. But the key to being with the various foundations of mindfulness, foundation of the body, foundation of the feeling, being mindful of one's mind states, and the fourth foundation, of course, is being mindful of the Dharma, so mindful of the teachings of awakening. The key to being with all of that is to be with our direct experience, with unreactive awareness. So with awareness, yet without perhaps our usual reactivity. And our reactivity, of course, is born of liking and disliking. Generally, we react in particular ways when we like something, and we have some aversion when we don't like something. So when we meditate, we're asked to come to the meditation experience, the actual mindfulness of the sensations, with the intention, or with the heart and mind, if you want to say it that way, of unreactive awareness. So with a kind of steadiness. So then we start to distrust our own experience, and we discover that yes, we can be with both the pleasant and the unpleasant. We can be with the shifting, changing sensations, and we can even be with our thoughts. We see the thoughts arise, we see them stay, and then, blessedly, they cease, they end. They do. We're not in the meditation trying to get rid of thoughts or to silence the thinking mind. That is not the aim. But rather, when we're mindful of all that occurs, we're invited to be mindful in a rather free way. So we're mindful without clinging, without grasping. This is the freedom aspect of the mindfulness. So the first step is being present. We be present in a particular way, with kindness, tenderly, with fine attention, with rather light attention. And then we also realize that sometimes when we just start to meditate, it's as if we step back from what's going on and we observe all that's happening. But sometimes also we can feel rather disconnected from that. We habitually see the world in terms of a duality. We say, I see the clock, for example. So there's me and the object. One of the meanings of the Pali word sati is to be intimate with. So we're asked to be intimate with all that occurs and comes through the sense doors. So when we say, I breathe, what we're doing is we're kind of separating ourselves through the language from the breath itself. What we want to do in our meditation practice is simply breathe. So to be so intimate with each breath that we are just breathing. And of course the same with sights and sounds and smells and tastes and touch. So I'm asking you not to stand back from yourself. I know that often meditation teachers tell you to observe or witness. And initially, yes, that can be a productive thing. It gives us a little sense of separation or a bit of distance from the turmoil of our own mind while we can check out what's going on. But the actual meaning of mindfulness, of the Pali word sati, is to be intimate with. So as you walk around, as you sit, if you would please, really pay attention to just seeing, just hearing, just smelling. When we say, I smell, I see, I hear, we're kind of adding the construct of I. You see that? Even in the grammar and the language, we are adding to what's happening. Well, certainly in English grammar. So it's rather helpful sometimes if we can just be utterly and totally with the breath, utterly and totally with what occurs through the sense doors. Now, our habit of mind is to perhaps like or dislike. It's to condemn some things that occur. So we have a thought, and before we know it, we're already condemning ourselves, we're already admonishing ourselves, we're already trying to push the thought away. We're already caught up in perhaps being self-critical and not liking ourselves. It happens in a flash. So I'm asking you to be with the totality of your experience with unconditional friendliness to all that occurs. So not being so caught up in it's right, it's wrong, it's good, it's bad. But just practicing that rather beautiful way of just being totally with our experience, whatever it is. And when we start to do that, something very wonderful can begin to happen. We start to let go and feel much more free about who we are, how we are. We often meditate, or have a misunderstanding about meditation, that we are meditating in order to be free. And so we have the view that if I just do it right, inverted commas, I'll then achieve something, I'll then attain something. I'm asking you to just reverse all of that, if you like. To actually start with freedom of heart and mind to begin with. And just be with all that emerges rather than going in search of something that we imagine is some great freedom. So in a sense, I'm asking you to drop all of your preconceived notions about what it is to meditate, what it is to be awake, and what it is you're wanting to understand. So the direction is to be with your experience as it is, just as it is. And the other meaning of sati, of course, is to remember. So to keep on remembering to pay attention, to remember to bring our attention back to the breath, to the seeing, to the listening. We tend to try and interpret and work things out. So, you can just, if you want to, leave interpretation aside. Because when we just see, there's just in the beginning of the sight, there is that which is almost prior to the language, prior to the perception of what it is. And so our attention needs to be so fine that we actually start to touch in with aspects of ourselves that perhaps we've not yet explored. Or for those who've meditated for a long time already, we start to touch in with that sense of vast spaciousness that we can know for ourselves. I'd also ask you to bring a sense of curiosity to what's happening. Be interested. It's an unfolding process, an unfolding journey, and you don't know how it's going to be and what's going to happen. We never know. So when you come to the sitting, please don't think, oh, I can't see it. How can I sit like this? I always have pains after the first 3 minutes. Who knows? You may not. You may not. On the other hand, if you're a long-term meditator and you've had some blissful retreats, please don't come with the view, oh, my retreat's going to be fabulous. Because any one of us at any time can have a rather rocky experience. We can have a difficult challenging time. There's a difference between freedom and discomfort. We can feel sensations, of course, that are both pleasant and unpleasant, uncomfortable and comfortable, sensations that we like or dislike, and we need to bring our awareness to all of that. Our heart has the capacity to embrace the totality of that, not just the good things, but the totality of our sorrow, our anguish, our despair. This is what it is to be a human being. We are faced with many challenges in this life. We're not just trying to say, okay, my freedom's about only knowing that which is pleasant. That is not the case. I'm sorry to disappoint you. The freedom is the freedom to be with life as it is, as it's come to be. And it's an extraordinary skill. And meditation is to cultivate it and develop it. We meditate actually with a really deep, abiding quality of love. That is what I would like you to do. So bring to your practice the deep quality of love. Krishnamurti defines meditation as an explosion of love. That may not be your experience, but I guarantee you that if you sit enough retreats, you will at some time or other experience an explosion of love when you sit. Sometimes in this life, we're faced with really difficult situations. And I want to tell you about the partner of a friend. He was a client of mine. I'm a psychologist, and he came to see me rather unwillingly. He wasn't really the sort of person who would ever have come to counselling. But he was very ill. He had been diagnosed with a particular type of cancer, some cancer of the stomach, and he'd had surgery, but then he had continued to be ill. And so really, he was at a position in his life which most of us never want to be, and that is, he was ill and he tried all kinds of treatments that were on offer, yet he remained ill and was dying. He had thought that it couldn't possibly be, because when he was a young man, his brother had died of cancer. And I think it had been such a painful experience for him as a young man to see that he couldn't face the fact of what was happening to him. And these are sometimes the things that many of us in life have needed to face, something painful, something difficult. And so he came. And I could see the resistance and I could see the unwillingness. I knew how ill he was. He was very thin and pale and experienced a lot of nausea. He was having just the most difficult time. And my heart really went out to him, and yet I knew that something had to shift and change. So I said to him, and I was tough, I think, but I said, "Can you face your death right now?" And I saw him, and he went like this. I saw him about to get up and leave the room. And because it was such a hard thing for him to even contemplate. And to his great credit, he just sat there and he looked at me and he stayed. So he stayed and we sat together and we talked about what it might mean for him to face his death. And then I asked him, of course, if there was anything unresolved in his life. And there were actually many, many things. Many, many things that he needed to look at. And many, many things that he'd been avoiding. Because he just wanted the whole situation to vanish. He wanted it to go away, totally understandably. But of course it didn't. So the session ended and we said goodbye. And he left. And in the next 2 days, his entire life changed. He hadn't told his children that he was dying, although there was, fair likelihood that in the next few weeks he would no longer be here. So he told his children. He hadn't made a will. So he made his will. And then, most importantly of all, he had never invited the love of his life, his partner, to live with him. He'd always kept her at a distance. And so he said, come, please come. Please live with me. And Lord, bless her heart, she did it. She moved in. They had 4 days together. 4 beautiful days of being in love, of being really together, of feeling extraordinary, an extraordinary meeting of hearts, of great love. And then he became so ill that he needed to be hospitalized, and within a couple of weeks he died. So my message to you from this experience is, don't wait to love. Don't hold back in your life. Please listen to the movement of your heart, because this is meditation. When we are really with what's happening for us, we can have extraordinary clarity of mind and we see immediately what we need to do. He did. We spoke for an hour and suddenly he saw. There were many things he needed to do, he had very little time to do it, and he did it. And although life was tragically very short for the two of them, the expression of love, the expression of unconditional love, please be with me completely until my last breath. This expression was very precious and very precious to the woman following his death. And of course, with his children, he had the time and opportunity for them to adjust a little to the loss. So meditation is to be with all that we need to be with in this life. It's to face, sometimes, the unpleasant or that which we don't want to know. And when we can do that, the product, if you like, or the outcome, or the expression of that capacity is love. When we see the truth of the situation, when we can just be with the situation, the understanding is expressed as love, as peace, as joy. And this is precious. So we're asked to loosen any stuck places within us. We're asked to soften up any parts of our being where there's tension and contraction and holding. So this is a key to our practice. And it's a key to knowing what it is to live in a liberated, loving way. So please, over the days, really bring tender, loving, mindful attention to all that arises, whether it's difficult, whether it's easy, whether it's sublime, whether it's painful. This is our practice.